She inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World. I am Gina Murphy Darling, and you are listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, a fun and informative place where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And this show is going to give you quite a bit to think about. I don't think you'll ever feel the same about a Q-tip again once you listen to the entire podcast. First, let me do a shout out to one of our favorite great partners and sponsors, the Chapman Automotive Group, who not only sell a lot of green cars, they have an amazing community green team that is absolutely dedicated to doing their share and showing that they care for our community and for the planet. For more information about this great group of businesses, visit ChapmanTucson.com. So get ready, folks. This is going to be a great show. The name of the show today is Trash is for Tossers. And I think there are parts of it that are almost unbelievable, but they are to be believed. For the next hour, we'll be talking about trash with someone who knows quite a bit about it in ways that you might not even imagine. Her name is Laura Singer. She is the founder and CEO of Simply Co. and Trash is for Tossers. And I'm quite sure she is not yet 30. So that would be two companies so far. She has an incredible story about her journey to a zero-waste life and then to the founding of Simply Co., an organic vegan cleaning products company made by Lauren. And I can't wait to hear about that. So, Lauren, we finally made it. Thanks for being here. And thanks for teaching us in the next hour a lot about trash.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super, super excited to talk.
Yeah, and you have a lot to talk about. I mean, it was when I went to your websites, it was like, I am down the rabbit hole. And what does she do about this? And what does she do about that? So I have questions, and I'm not going to try and stump the guest because I think you're probably unstumpable. But let's get started with, I always love to start at the very beginning as the song goes. You did have two aha moments that I read about that brought you to a trash-free, and I'm just saying that over and over, she really lives a trash-free life, waste-free lifestyle, and they're actually quite powerful stories. Would you share them with us and tell how this all came about on this magnificent journey of living a zero-waste life?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can definitely talk about a million times where there were things that kind of just stopped me in my tracks and make me reevaluate my life, even little things, but big things like reading Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, and learning yes. about the effects of pesticides, watching the documentary Gasland by Josh Fox, learning about the effects of hydraulic fracturing and the extraction of oil and gas. Those were just two things that really helped me to pursue environmentalism and pursue that as a field of study and as an activist. But the two things that really changed, so those things changed my mindset, but two things that actually changed the physical and day-to-day aspects of my life were, first, when I was at NYU, I studied environmental science, and that was very much because of reading that book and watching that documentary. And I was always passionate about environmentalism. I enjoy the environment a lot. I think it's perfect and can't believe that humans would do anything that would impact it in a negative way. And my senior year of college, I was in the last class that you have to take as an environmental studies major. It was called the Environmental Studies Capstone course. And in that class, there was this one girl who every day would bring in this big plastic bag with a plastic clamshell full of food, a plastic fork and knife, a plastic bag of chips, a plastic drink, and she would eat everything for dinner. It was like a 7 p.m. class or something. And then she would take everything and just throw it in the garbage. And I would sit there just kind of like in disbelief every single class because
I couldn't believe. What's the disconnect here? It's like, come on, you're in environmental studies.
we're learning how to make the environment less impacted by human activity, but here she is literally throwing like the worst stuff, plastic, right into the garbage. And so I would get really frustrated with her and feel angry and stressed out, but I never said anything to her. I would just kind of like look at her mean. And then one day after class, I went home to make dinner, and I opened my refrigerator and realized that everything that I had in there was packaged in plastic. And it was this moment where I kind of connected the dots between how I felt about her and how little I was actually looking at myself. And I felt like this massive, massive hypocrite for having judged someone so intensely when I was just as bad. In fact, I was like exponentially worse, because when I started thinking about it, I looked around my apartment. I had like this teeny, teeny studio at the time, but literally from wall to wall, floor to ceiling, there was plastic. I had plastic all in my bathroom with all of my beauty products, plastic in my cabinets with all of my cleaning products, plastic in my closet with all of my clothes that were very much made of synthetic clothing because I was participating in fast fashion back then, also hypocritical based on what I studied. And I realized that I needed to make a change. And if plastic was so bad for the environment, and if I had been protesting against the oil and gas industry for 2 years, which one of their biggest byproducts is plastic, I couldn't continue to use it anymore, just out of like alignment with myself and not being an absolute hypocrite. So I decided to stop using plastic. But not using plastic was something that I thought would be really easy to do, in the sense of like, I could just go to CVS and buy all of my beauty products packaged in wood. But like, that's not a thing. Right. Definitely not a thing.
It's not a thing. Correct.
No. And so I get to the store and I'm just like, oh my God, I don't even know, like, what do I buy? What do I use? I tried going to Whole Foods, but even there, like, everything really was packaged in plastic. And I realized that if I was going to transition away from these plastic packaged products, I was going to have to take a different route. And for me, that was learning how to make them myself. But I didn't know how to do any of that. Like, I had a boyfriend that used baking soda as toothpaste, and I thought that he was like a Neanderthal for doing that. And I never thought that like making your own products could be effective, but once I started doing this, I was like, I truly don't see any other option. And so I tried, and ironically, the first thing that I made was toothpaste, but it wasn't just baking soda. I added some coconut oil and some stevia and some essential oils, and it turned out being perfect, and I loved it, and it worked. And that moment of making my first product was so empowering that I delved into all of this research to learn how to make more. And that's when I found Bea Johnson's blog, Zero Waste Home, which is all about living a zero waste lifestyle with two kids and a husband in California. And I thought, after realizing that I was using plastic, that like the best thing that I could do for my life and for the environment and to live in alignment with what I believed in was not use plastic, but learning about the concept of zero waste and realizing that I didn't have to have any trash impact at all was honestly like the most inspiring, empowering thing I had ever learned. And to me, once I had the idea in my head that it was possible to not make any trash, I couldn't see any other option. So that's the moment that I decided to go zero waste, and it's been 4 years since that.
It's unreal, right? To me. I mean, it's just, it's incredulous. And it's such a delight to hear when you said you realized what you wanted to do, that it was inspiring and you couldn't wait. And to me, when I was reading your website, I was like, OMG, I'm trying really hard and you have done it. And then to find a family of four, there are just so many things that come to mind about how did they do it. So you started in terms of sharing this with the world by documenting your journey through a blog called Trash is for Tossers, say that five times really fast. And it really is about your journey. And one of the things that was so affirming to me being on this journey, just some steps behind you, we've made a lot of strides here in the Murphy Darling Casa, but it's still that we do have some waste. And I want to ask you about some of those things. But what you found and continue to find, I believe, is that it's a really simple, cost-effective, timely, and I'm quoting from your website, fun and entirely possible for everyone and anyone. And obviously you believe that. How does it make your life more simple if you have to make your toothpaste and, you know, search for products? How does it make your life simple? I can see ultimately how it would be cost-effective, but how do you get from, oh my gosh, look at everything in my closets and my refrigerator and my pantry, to this is simple and it's not a burden and it is challenging? And, you know, there's a sense of feeling, I hope you feel a little bit noble about it, even if it's privately, like, I'm doing this.
I think the big umbrella thing is of course the environmental impact, right? Like, this is why I did this. This is what I care about. Like, my goal in life is to help to empower people and inspire people to create positive environmental change. Like, but that aside, even if you don't care about the environment, even if it's not even on your radar, the process of going zero waste, just the process of reducing what I had and becoming more of a minimalist, it's addictive in the sense that, like, the less you have, the better you feel. And I caught that bug kind of right away. It's like, as you start to reduce what you have, you know, and donate things and sell things and replace them with, you know, really high quality, beautiful items, you start to feel a lot better and you start to impart more value on the things that you have. And your home becomes so much easier to clean because you have fewer things. The things that you do have, you value more because they're chosen by you as, like, the only things that you'll have. Your wardrobe becomes easier to navigate because you have fewer things and make smarter decisions. Your morning routine becomes faster because you only have 5 products. Your refrigerator becomes more easier to navigate because you have fresh produce and you know what's in there because it's empty by the end of the week. You know, buying groceries becomes easy because things are in jars and you know when you're out and you learn how to prepare. And from a health perspective, just the fact that when you make your own products, you have control over exactly what you're putting on and therefore in your body, is so powerful because there are so many toxic chemicals and so many unregulated chemicals that are going into all of the products, both cleaning and beauty, that we use on a daily basis. But for me, knowing that none of my products have more than, you know, 6 ingredients, and I know exactly what those ingredients are, and I can trace them back to the source, is so powerful for me. And from a time savings perspective, you know, simply, I used to, when I had more clothing, I would stand in my closet and, like, want to cry because I didn't know what I wanted to wear. But now, because I have so few choices, I just kind of, like, put on the same thing, and guess what? I feel just as good about it, because there are things that I wear all the time. I save time because, again, like I said, my home is easier to clean. I have fewer things to wipe down. I save time because I don't have to take out the garbage. I save time because making my own products is exponentially faster than going to buy them. I live in Brooklyn.
Yes, so it's a journey.
Totally. Yeah, like, living in Brooklyn, I have to, like, put on my clothes, which, like, you know, right now I have slippers on, so, you know, we can see how hard that is for me.
Right.
So I'd have to put on some clothes. It's freezing out. I have to put on a jacket, bundle up, you know, walk to the store, which is 15 minutes, go buy the stuff in the store, which is, you know, $7 if I were buying toothpaste, walk back home, take off all my stuff, put it away, brush my damn teeth, you know. Or I could be, like, sitting comfortably in my kitchen, reach into my cabinet, grab some baking soda and some coconut oil and some stevia and peppermint oil, all of which I already have in my house and use for multiple other things, mix them together in a jar in about 30 seconds, and I save about $6.50, and I have toothpaste right in my home.
So and game
when you break
on.
It down like that, yeah, yes. Totally. Like, there's the argument that like making your own products takes longer is so false, but you just have to have someone from the other end break down why it's so false.
And, you know, I just have to reflect that your voice and your enthusiasm is so filled with what I call good energy. And we live in a world of unconscious consumption. People just buy. And when the journey started for me, it was like putting things in the cart and then looking at it and saying, I don't need that. I don't need to try that. I don't even want that. And putting them back and feeling really good about it. And where there's nothing wrong with consumption, but this unconscious consumption that we have in this country is really causing one of the most harmful impacts, you know, a population, because we consume so greatly. You know, we're going to have to go to a break in about 2 minutes, I think, but I want to ask you this, and this is totally not anything I prepared to ask you, but when you're on this journey and you've come as far as you have, what do you feel when you see all of the advertisements and the commercialization of Black Friday? I will tell you, for me, it puts such a, you know, there's a heaviness in my soul. And what I try to do with people, because they know who I am, is I just say, you know what, if you are going to shop on Black Friday, at least make 10 to 20% of your purchases at locally owned businesses. And just, and I don't preach, I just try to say, don't forget to go to a locally owned restaurant for lunch if you're going shopping. And my family and I are consciously not going to do that. And we are going to take a day trip and go sightseeing down to a beautiful part of southern Arizona. But what do you feel, given your journey and your passion and your excitement, when it's Black Friday? Or do you just like breeze through?
I mean, I don't even think of Black Friday because, like, usually I'm hungover from Thanksgiving.
That is such a great answer. Your zero-waste Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and then I'm with my family, and they're making me coffee and breakfast, and you know there's no way I'm getting up. So, I mean, I don't even think about it. And
that's
and
wonderful.
I don't even go shopping. If I do go shopping, it's secondhand. And even that, like, sometimes I just, like, my friend said something really amazing to me. She said that her mom told her that if she has an urge to go shopping, it means she needs to be creative.
Okay.
And so I started thinking about that. And if I had an urge to go shopping, I would sit down and, like, make art. And it's so true. It's just, like, this urge to be creative and, like, use a different part of your brain. But, you know, it's also complicated because on that note, you know, from my personal side, I don't participate in Black Friday. Although one of my favorite secondhand stores has a huge sale on Black Friday. So I might take my grandmother because she's here from Albuquerque. So you never know.
But, oh my gosh, we could be neighbors. We have family in Taos, New Mexico, and go through Albuquerque
amazing.
Quite frequently. So
it's the best. But so the complicated part that I'm going to say is that I have a consumer product company. I own a laundry detergent company, and you have to understand, I'm definitely doing emails and sales for Black Friday, but the way that I justify it in my brain is because I'm not making something that people don't already use. I'm making something that people already use that's better.
And it won't be harming them or their children or the water,
exactly.
The landfills, the water source. I mean, it's just everything about your product is conscious and amazing, and I can't wait to talk more about that. I mean, it's just like, and I have so many questions. We might have to do a two-part interview, and you'll have to call back some
afternoon.
So
I'll just end really quickly on this. I think that, like, selling isn't bad, and consuming isn't bad. It's selling crap that people don't need and buying things that don't make you happy or if you feel beautiful. That's what's bad.
And that you don't need. That's what I
exactly.
find. Like, you don't really need to buy this much. And one of the things I cannot wait to ask you about when we go to break is, or maybe you can answer it very quickly right now, the things that popped into my head is, like, what do you do about dental floss? Because don't you throw
that
in the garbage?
For sure. I can answer it really quickly. One, I have some friends who are working on dental floss that hopefully will come out soon. I can't say who yet, but I think it'll be really amazing when they do, and I can't wait to share it with everyone in the entire world. But currently, I have this amazing friend, Milena, who has this incredible store called Original Unverpackt in Berlin. And it's a zero-waste grocery store. And she sells this amazing dental floss that comes packaged in a little glass container with a metal lid that can screw on and off. And you put in the refillable floss that's totally compostable. And that's how I floss my teeth.
I want to keep on that when we come back. We'll be right back. More Talking Trash with Laura Singer. Is this not a great show? Stay here with me, everybody.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and SpeakUp networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
And welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. And we're talking about trash, how to eliminate it. We're going to get to that, how to recycle it, and how to keep anything from going into our landfills. Joining us for this really exciting hour is Lauren Singer, founder and CEO of Simply Co. and Trash is for Tossers. Lauren hasn't sent any trash to a landfill since 2016, since 2012. Is that right, Lauren?
Yes.
Yes, sorry. There's a little typo there on my part, which she documents through her blog, Trash is for Tossers. We're going to go through all of the websites before we're off air. And since she started writing this blog, it has helped people across the globe to literally live without waste. Trash is for Tossers is Lauren's attempt to live like she actually loves the environment, and it documents her zero waste journey and shows that leading a zero waste life, obviously from listening to the first part of this interview, is not just cost effective and timely, but it's fun and entirely possible for anyone. And I am learning as we go. So, Lauren, we were talking about the dental floss. So you have to say the name of her company slowly again so I can check it out. What is the name of her company?
So it's not her company, but this is her shop that she has in Berlin. And
okay.
I believe she's starting an e-commerce site.
Okay.
It's original, like original. And then Unverpackt. So Unverpackt.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Berlin.
And how did you find that?
It's a zero waste grocery store.
Oh.
And I learned about Milena just through social media. There was like this huge, she basically took over the internet for a second. And I went to Berlin. I was actually dating someone in Berlin at the time and was going back and forth. And I was there and I was like, I have to meet this girl. And we ended up meeting and sitting and just talking forever about everything from, you know, zero waste to guys, to food, to business. And we just like really connected, and so every time I'm in Berlin now, I see her.
And it's just the next show I'm going to tell you is going to be a little bit of the life of Lauren Singer as well, because I want to know all about that, the boyfriend and the trips to Berlin, and it's that's a different type of show. But anyway, we
totally different type of show.
We really didn't define waste, and how do you define waste? I want to go back to the basics because I loved how you defined it when in the research that I did. So how do you define waste?
So, to me, waste and zero waste, it's everyone defines it differently, and it's really important to, when you're reading something or talking to someone about zero waste, like first preface with what it means to you. So for me, zero waste means that I don't send anything to landfill. But in addition to that, it means that I don't dispose of anything or like deem anything unusable or useless. So if I do have that sentiment towards something, I'll put it in my mason jar, which is where I've collected all of the pieces of trash that I've prevented from going to a landfill, which is only a 16-ounce mason jar, and everything in there is plastic. But so waste is anything that's deemed as not usable, not recyclable, not compostable, and would be discarded with the intention of going to landfill. So that could mean someone throws it on the ground or decides to put it in a trash bin with the anticipation of it going to a landfill.
You know, it's interesting. I have a pair of jeans that are just disgusting. They are the jeans that you just should not let anybody know you wear. And finally, I wore...
Those are the best jeans.
It's like, and I said to my husband, I said, you know, and we never, ever throw any clothing in the landfill. I cannot believe that people throw their clothes away. It makes me so sad. And I've never done that, even way before my Mrs. Green's journey. You donate them to Goodwill or Savers or some cause, my sister's closet. I mean, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah.
So I looked at the jeans and I said to him, okay, they're going to have the final wash because they're going to Goodwill. Because I can't, I'm afraid they're going to like come apart. But my point is, I normally would have thought, there is no way I'm going to disrespect someone by giving these to a Goodwill. And then on the other hand, I thought about my daughters who buy jeans that have been purposely shredded, put holes in, bleached, and I thought, someone will just love these and they'll have another life. So that's the thought that I wanted to go with.
Totally.
And so here's my stump Lauren Singer question. The one thing we do throw away, the one thing, is socks with holes in them that are worn out. What's your advice for the sock tosser?
So for any clothing, like you said, of course, like the best thing to do is first like take preventative measures and repair them. So I have this like amazing tailor that I go to that I found through some of the people in my office, and for literally $5, he'll fix anything.
Wow.
And so I will always repair something, and I also only buy natural materials. And the reason for that is when something like a sock or a pair of jeans gets to the point where it's just beyond repair and like where, you know, you're feeling like, is this socially acceptable to wear these? And I totally fall victim to that because all of my socks are like, literally they look like they're mesh because they have so many holes in them.
Can you send me a picture of that?
Oh my God, for sure. I send them to either textile recycling, which there are even mail-in textile recycling programs.
You're kidding.
It's just about knowing that the option exists. There are options that exist for basically every form of potential waste. It's just taking the time to know that they exist. So there's textile recycling.
There's H&M. There's TerraCycle.
There's TerraCycle. There's H&M, which, you know, as a large fast fashion company, I can't say that I'm a fan of what they do principally, but they do take steps to provide infrastructure for things like textile recycling, which I think is really admirable. And then there's also, if you buy natural fibers and you have, for instance, your own composting, you can compost denim. You can compost socks. They're natural fibers, and actually they'll break down faster than like a lot of other things would.
Right, and wool sweaters. I mean, I was surprised when I learned that. It's really unbelievable. So
You can bury it in a hole in your backyard. You can have like a final resting place for your favorite denim.
I might be having a ceremony, and I'll catch it on video and send it to you on YouTube.
Your husband will just be like, oh my God.
She's come undone. It's finally the final stage of craziness.
Yeah.
So I think one of the most wonderful things among the many things, and I know I sound over the top excited. I am. My whole family is. My daughter is driving here from LA. She was reviewing the show with me, and we can't wait to like listen to it again. But one of the things that calmed me down when I started, because the breathing thing started, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I don't think I can ever do zero waste. And we've really cut down and blah, 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 blah. But what you did is you articulated for us, for those of us that care, and there are thousands of listeners in Mrs. Green's world that do care, you shared with us how to get rid of that completely overwhelming feeling and how can I possibly do this by walking us through two steps. And you need to really do the Yoda quote, because Yoda is one of my ascended masters. I listen to that, what he says. It's like, you need to do it. He's gotten me through some dark periods of my life when I felt the force, Luke. It is your destiny. So talk about the two major steps that you would advise us to do on this journey to at least a much less waste life. Maybe not zero waste, baby steps.
Well, I guess I'll kind of take a step back, excuse me, and I'll say that so people ask me a lot what the hardest part of reducing my waste is.
Right.
And I'm always kind of stumped by this question and almost feel like because they're asking me a question, I have to find something that's hard. But really, like, if you look at my blog and you hear me talk about things, like, the actual steps to reduce your waste are simple. Like, there's no question about it. You can't challenge it. Like, using a reusable bag is easy. Making toothpaste in 30 seconds is easy. What isn't easy is the mental block and the societal preconceptions that we have that tell us that these things are hard, that tell us that one person's actions don't make a difference, that tell us that it doesn't matter, that tell us that we're doomed, that show us all of the media clips of, you know, the environment being completely beyond repair. That is the hardest thing to get past. But, you know, and we all have moments like this. We all have moments where we're sitting on Facebook going through a feed and every video is doom and gloom and it's depressing.
Right.
And we feel like, why does it matter? What is the point of what I'm doing? Do I even need to continue? I should just be wasteful because we're all screwed, whatever. But
you read my head sometimes. It's like, what's the point?
It happens.
The darkness comes in.
To everyone, the darkness comes in. But what I try to focus on, of course, I let that stuff in and I like to hear what's going on, but I don't, maybe I'll like indulge it for a couple hours and then I say to myself, okay, but where is the other side? What's happening on the positive side of things? What can I do right now in my own life? So maybe collectively, this group of individuals are making choices that aren't beneficial for the environment. So what can my contribution be? How
Right.
can I be the other side? How can I be the bright to contrast all of this dark? And so I try to focus on myself and my impact, and I don't try to focus on changing the whole world.
Right, because the only thing you can change is yourself. That's so wise.
My mom always said that to me growing up. You know, you can't change other people. You can only change yourself, and you know, you can help show people that they can do differently, but you can't tell people to change. But
right.
by providing them an example and a consistent example of things that they can do, there's a possibility to help to empower and inspire them to change. And it's happening. I mean, like, look at from Bea, from, you know, starting Trashes for Tossers. There are now thousands of zero waste blogs. Zero waste is like a topic of conversation all across the internet. And it just goes to show you that if you have an idea and you believe in it and you're consistent and you talk about it in a way that isn't preachy, in a way that's just like, this is what I do, this is how I feel, if you like it, here's how I do it, if you don't, you know, go on with your life. So I think, like, the actual steps to reduce your waste, I always suggest to people the first thing that you should do is just take a moment and stop and look at yourself. And it's hard. It's really hard to look at ourselves. It's so much easier to say, oh, you know, the oil and gas companies and politicians and big business, they're the ones screwing everything up.
Yeah,
it's not
blame,
me.
Blame,
it's not
blame,
my
blame,
impact.
Blame. Right, the blame
you know,
game.
All of our fingers are pointed outwards. But
right.
that's when I say, like, that's how I was before I realized that I had an impact that was negative and realized that I could have an impact that was possibly zero or positive if I just looked at myself. And it was hard. It was hard to say, I care about this, but I am a massive part of the problem with my consumption and with my choices. So the first thing that I suggest doing really is just looking at yourself and saying, you know, okay, what am I doing? What does my life look like? And what am I throwing away? So what that means is you have to actually look at what you're throwing away, because how can you reduce your waste if you don't even know what waste you're throwing away? So when I like to always just talk about what I found when I did this exercise, and a lot of people say that their waste is fairly similar. When I looked at my trash, I found that I had three main things. The first one was organic food waste, so just like food. The second one was food packaging. And the third one was product packaging. So okay. Things like cleaning product and beauty product packaging. So what I did was identify three really low-hanging, easy things that I could try to remediate. So with food waste, I just Googled, like, how can I get rid of food waste in New York City? And it was like, Grow NYC, you know, municipal composting program. And I was
right.
Like, oh, that's a thing?
Oh, that's a thing?
Okay, where's the closest compost drop-off next to my house? Oh, it's four blocks away, like three times a week? What? So
I can do this.
Like, yeah, I was like, this is fun. I want to go to the farmer's market. And so me and my boyfriend at the time, like every Saturday, would just take, I would put my compost in the freezer so it didn't rot in my refrigerator. I would take it in a paper bag that I got from my recycling room and drop it off at the farmer's market every Saturday. And it was like a part of our ritual, a part of what we did. And if we didn't do it, we felt like we were missing something that was
yes.
like...
You become part of a community. Yes.
Totally. And it felt so gratifying to be like, oh yeah, this is from the pasta that we had, you know, last week. Oh yeah, this is like eggshells from breakfast this morning. Like, it's fun to see what you're doing. And then, so that was the first thing, just learning how to compost. With product packaging, that's when I was like, okay, I need to learn how to make my own products. What am I throwing away? And it's not like I was like, okay, I'm going to do an overhaul right now. I'm going to throw everything away and just make it all. That's insane.
It's not good. It's
yeah,
not
so
good.
What I did was one thing at a time. I ran out of toothpaste, so I made toothpaste. I was like, yeah, this works. This is cheap. This is easy. This is good. So when I ran out of lotion, I was like, okay, let's Google how do I make some lotion? And like, thank you, Etsy, Pinterest. And like DIY gods,
I know,
for
and
helping
thank
me.
You, Google. My life without
yeah.
Google, where would it be?
Totally.
I mean, seriously, such tools at your fingertip if you want an answer.
Exactly. So I learned how to make all these products. So, like, you know, that's how I learned how to remediate all of the product packaging waste. And then food packaging waste, well, I was already going to the farmer's market to drop off my compost. And I was like, okay, so how do I do this without, you know, making any packaging waste? And so I just got like organic cotton reusable bags and I would fill them up. And then there was a store by my house that had things like bulk olive oil, and I would go and buy that like once a month. And that was that. Those were the main sources of trash that I had. And of course there were little things, and a lot of those are plastics and still things that I put in my jar. But like, just by identifying those three main sources of trash and like doing a simple Google search. And now, like, because Bea has her job, her blog, and because I have my blog, and because there's so many other bloggers coming out, it's so much easier to find really comprehensive solutions to all of these problems. Like, I've tried to make pretty comprehensive lists of all of the potential forms of waste and how you can remediate them. So you don't have to do the legwork and the research like I did. Like, I love doing research. I have a science background, but most people just want quick answers. And so that's truly why I started my blog. So that was kind of like the first chunk. So the first chunk is like, look at your life, look at your garbage, evaluate what you're making, and find simple ways to remediate it, whether just doing a Google search or searching my blog.
Right.
And then the second part is just like, okay, what can I do? That's like a longer term, you know, these are the things that I have to do. I have to do some research. I have to change some of my habits over time. But what are the things that I can do right now? Like, today, how can I reduce my waste? And there are so many. So I call those the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
And those can all be found on my blog under Zero Waste Alternatives. And it's things as simple as, like, today I'm going to carry a reusable bag with me. And today, going forward for the rest of my life, I'm always going to have, like, a little reusable bag folded up in my bag or used as a bag, so I never have to take a plastic bag ever again.
Ever. And that's so easy. That's just the lowest hanging
so
fruit.
So easy.
It's a habit, and I have a little purse, and I have a little bag inside the little purse. Or there's
yep.
always one in my car, because here in the Southwest, you don't get very far without a car. But always have it with you. And then I've done this. I've gone to the grocery store, forgotten it, and said, it's okay. And then I just put everything in my back seat rather than take a plastic bag. And then believe me, you remember it the next time. So we are coming up on the next break. There's so much more to cover. It's like cracking me up. And then we have to go to the Yoda quote. And I think the quote was, how much and what do I really need to be happy? Is that the quote?
From Yoda?
From Yoda. I believe that
You're the Yoda expert.
I am. And then one of the things that made me laugh, too, we'll end on a really funny note, this is great, is do you really need that giant foam finger in the back of your closet to be happy? We'll be right back. We're going to talk about Simply Co. razors and toothbrushes, and I want to know what you do for a Q-tip. Please stay here with me. Lauren Singer, just rocking this interview. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks so much for joining us. Before I go into the more trash talk that we've been enjoying for the past two segments, I want to do a personal plea, question, whatever, and ask. Consider becoming a member. We don't have a membership drive, excuse me, like PBS, but we could use your support. We would love to have more members. It is definitely worth your while. You get 12 tips delivered to your email box, videos live by Mrs. Green's World, and they're short, fun, informative tips every month and two free webinars a year. So consider visiting MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member, because we'd love to grow this, increase our impact, increase our reach. And like I said, we don't have the luxury of doing a PBS membership drive. So consider this your call to action to help support our mission and vision, because I know that you enjoy shows and guests like this that just make you want to take it to the next step. So our guest, once again, is Lauren Singer. She's just all that. She is the founder and CEO of Trash is for Tossers, and we have to get to talk about her new company, Simply Co., which has organic, I call them worry-free products, because now that I know what I know, I worry about what's in things, and the more you can trust what you're buying, all that worry goes away. So, Lauren, thank you not just for taking this time to be with us, but for what you're doing, and what a inspirational message and human being at a time when I think our planet needs it desperately. So thank you from the bottom of Mrs. Green's heart.
That's like the best way to start my day ever. Thank you.
I know, it's just, my face
hurts. Can you just call me and say nice things every morning?
I might do that. My face hurts because I've been smiling for this entire 40 minutes.
So amazing.
It's so fun. So I want to go through three things that we have to cover, and if we have time for four, and then talk about Simply Co. So
for sure.
Razors, it's a big disposable item. Tell us about razors.
So razors, okay, besides the fact that they're just so expensive,
razors
are
ridiculous.
It's like the most insane monopoly. They're all the razor people are just like, LOL, we got them hooked. Like we've created this culture of where hairlessness is the only sexy way to be. And if you have hair, then you're if a female has hair, she's considered manly or less feminine. So we have them hooked. We have these razors. We charge $20 a cartridge, and They have to buy them, and they're disposable, and they dull quickly, and they have to buy a new one like every, you know, 3 weeks, and it's this dependence, and it's expensive, and it's wasteful, and it's unhealthy to have this narrative that like having a little bit of hair or whatever is so disgusting. So like the industry in general is just like
right. It's a big scam, especially for women. But like who said
totally
this is
you know like some days I just don't want to shave my leg,
right?
You know. So I use, when I do shave my legs, a stainless steel safety razor. And what that is like basically just, if you look at like old fashioned men's razors,
yes,
that's
yes.
what it is.
Yes.
And I got mine on Craigslist actually from some guy in New York City who like collected safety razors, and he was like, yeah, I have about 14. What use do you need? And I was like, I don't know, like shaving my legs and my armpits. And he was like, okay, I'll meet you like in this park. And I was like, this is the sketchiest exchange that I've ever had in my life.
My God.
I made my boyfriend at the time come with me.
To meet the razor man.
Yeah, to meet the razor man. And I was like, I'm not sure how this is going to go down. Like, should we bring a knife? Like, but I ended up, the guy was super weird, but he was really nice. And I got my safety razor for $10. He explained to me like how to use it. And then I just bought a pack of like 100 blades online that are packaged in paper in a cardboard box. And I got it for, I think, like $5 for 100 blades.
You're kidding.
So that's like the rest of my life of blades?
Yes. One would hope.
And that's how I shave. And then I just recycle the blade when I'm done. It's stainless steel, which is like incredibly valuable and recyclable. And it works just as well as any other razor, if not better, because you can change the blade or like take the blade out and dry it so you can like really maintain the integrity of the blade. And then you can even keep the blades after, you know, some people keep just blades on hand to do things like, you know, get paint off or whatever. So it's not like it's a single use thing necessarily. So, yeah, that's what I use to shave.
So
and
that's
amazing.
Razors. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And
you can buy them on eBay, like Craigslist. You can buy them on Etsy. There's a billion, or there are cool companies that are actually like starting up making recycled steel safety razors again.
Okay, so have hope. And really, that's one that's a very frequent consumable. So it's a good one to start with.
Totally.
Okay.
And if you're looking for a way to save money, like that's...
Yes.
People are like, oh my God, you know, I all these like eco things are so expensive. Well, like totally false. Also, like you're spending probably $200 a year on shaving your legs. Like get a safety razor and you'll spend like $5 for the rest of your life.
Yes. I mean, you're set for life, and I'm going to check back with you in 10 years and see how your razor stash is going. Very quickly, because I really want to talk about Simplico, and I know you do too. What about, we've talked a lot on this show about straws and alternatives for straws.
Mm-hmm.
That's very easy, simple, stainless steel or glass Dharma is one of my favorite. What about Q-tips?
So Q-tips, I just straight up don't use because I think they're unnecessary. They're damaging to your ears and your body. You know, like what did people do before Q-tips? Like your body naturally pushes earwax out of your ears, and like if you want you can just take like a towel and clean the inside, but like it's a natural process. And I think what we've done, you know, like I by no means have like am anywhere near being like a quintessential hippie or anything, but what I do believe in is working with your body, not against it. And if your body naturally does things, why would we try to fight that? Why would we like help it in a way where it's like weakening its ability to do something that it already does? To me, that makes no sense. So I'm like a big believer of work with your body, not against it. Q-tips, I don't think are necessary at all. They're also just another expense. So another way to cut down the money that you're spending every month is to just stop using them. And I have never had any issues with not using Q-tips. I still, you know, guys still like me. I still have friends.
And
I'm still clean.
And you're still absolutely gorgeous. And the other thing is, I mean, I'm going to try. And that is one consumable that I am guilty of. And I do, I've seen so many things, even on, you know, TV about don't ever put one in your ear. And if my ear's itchy, I do. And it's bad for you. But mm-hmm. what you have on your website, and everybody, trashisfortossers.com, just go and spend. If you spend 5 minutes, you want to spend an hour. Trust me, I did. I spent way more than an hour. But there is an alternative that I found out for cotton balls, and there are reusable cotton rounds. And that got me mm-hmm. very excited, because I also use Q-tips to get the makeup off, you know, from under my eyes. So
I have a better solution. I have the cotton rounds too, and I suggest them for people during the transition, but I honestly don't even use them anymore. I just posted something on Instagram about how I take off makeup, and literally all I use is some olive oil, and I just rub it in my eyes, not in my eyes, but like rub it all around my eyes. I break up the makeup, then I take a warm washcloth, and everything literally melts off. So no need for any cotton balls, any Q-tips.
Olive oil? So my daughter, my Taos daughter that follows everything we're doing, all my daughters will love that, because we're on this journey and we're teaching each other. I love it. I'm writing it down, hashtag olive oil for Q-tips.
Totally. What I said on the post, and this is true, like, have you ever slept over at a friend's house or like been at a family's house and realized like, oh my God, I don't have makeup? Or even worse, like if you sleep over at a guy's house or something and you have your makeup on from last night and you wake up and you have raccoon eyes, and it's like this moment of utter panic. Like, what do I do? You're trying to use soap. It's not coming off. Every respectable person has olive oil
True.
In their house.
Go
you
to the kitchen.
Sneak into the kitchen, grab some olive oil, and you look like you weren't out all night or that you slept in your own house.
This is, I'm going to say it, one of my favorite shows in 9 years. I'm telling you, I wish we could extend it for at least another 30 minutes. So let's go. We've got to talk about Simply Co. And just very quickly, people, go to the website, Trash is for Tossers, and you'll find, it cracked me up. It was like a flashback for me, stainless steel ice trays, because you shouldn't store your water in plastic. And most people have ice makers, but a lot of people don't. So go and find those stainless steel ice trays. Say goodbye to sponges. There are lots of alternatives out there for sponges, which I thought was exciting, and then dry cleaning. But let's talk about Simply Co. So many people were asking you, how do I get this? That you, obviously you have the entrepreneurial spirit, but how do you just go about starting another company that is really about product fulfillment? It's about all of those things. And how did you do it?
Sometimes I don't know.
So you can be sure I'm reading this. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Starting a company is like, anyone that starts a company and anyone that makes money off of their company is like my hero, because it is definitely like, you know, they say it's like having a child. I'd say it's like having like 45 children that like don't go to sleep.
That's perfect.
And I started it. So I'll try to condense this story. Which is, I guess, hard for me. When I graduated from college, I obviously wanted a job in sustainability. And the best one that I could find was working in engineering at the New York City Department of Environmental Protection as their sustainability manager. So I would go through capital infrastructure projects like bridges and water tunnels and help to kind of vet them and help them to become more sustainable. So that's what I was doing when I graduated, and I had Trashes for Tossers at the same time. It was like still in its infancy, like a little under 2 years old. No one was really reading it. It was kind of just like a few people, some friends, like maybe some family that like took pity on me. and then I had this email that was coming in over and over, and it was like, you know, I like these products that you're making. You know, I really care about sustainability. I want to lower my waste, but I have a job and I have kids and I have a life and friends and whatever. And I don't have the time to make these things. But like, let me interject with a side note. Like, I just proved that those things don't take a long time. But that being said, so I was like, okay, their email was like, what products can you suggest that I can buy in stores that are as good as the ones that you're making yourself? And so I had this challenge. I started looking in stores for products that I thought were as good as the ones that someone could make themselves at home. And there were beauty product companies that I felt were really doing a good job at using just like minimal ingredients and really sustainable packaging. But the same wasn't true for cleaning products, like, at all. So I started looking at cleaning products, and first of all, most of them were packaged in, all of them were packaged in plastic, except for, like, the occasional cardboard box. And even those sometimes had, like, plastic liners inside. On top of that, when I started doing some more research on cleaning products, I learned that there are over 85,000 industrial chemicals that are in use in the United States, and most of those aren't tested for safety before right. being released out into the market. And so how they're tested for safety is someone gets really sick, they do a test, and they're like, oh, geez, like, actually, you know,
they don't change it. Right, they just put a warning label on it. They don't take it out.
Yeah, and then, like, maybe if we're lucky, like, it's banned, but, like, no, in the United States. And so that, first of all, was just like, oh my God, like, no one's regulating this stuff. Oh, okay. Like, let's keep reading. And then I learned after that, that in the United States, cleaning product manufacturers aren't legally required to disclose the ingredients of their product on the product packaging.
Right.
So we have no idea what's in these products. And on top of that, they can use these, like, umbrella terms, like proprietary or perfume or fragrance to be, like, a term for upwards of 2,000 different proprietary ingredients that can make up a fragrance, because fragrance and perfume is considered trade secret.
Right.
But in those fragrances could be things like formaldehyde, which is, like, the same stuff that we use to embalm dead bodies. And I learned about that, and I was just like, what the hell? Like, what? Like, we don't even know what we're using, so something can be labeled as sustainable, but, like, it could just be garbage, like formaldehyde. There's no regulation, there's no requirement. Like, if I'm exposing myself to toxic chemicals, I at least deserve the right to know that
right.
I'm exposing myself to toxic chemicals. You know, some people don't care, but I think everyone can unanimously agree that we have a right to know. And so in that moment, I was like, okay, I've been making my own cleaning products for, like, 2 years now. I know they work. I know they're cost effective. I know they're simple, and I know they're sustainable. And I felt this drive to do something about this. Like, I was happy in my job, but, like, I wasn't happy in my job. And I just felt like no one was providing people with a product that I feel we all deserve. So I quit my job and simultaneously launched a Kickstarter and wrote an article on Mind Body Green that was titled, like, I haven't made any trash in 2 years. This is what my life is like. And that article went viral in a way that I never even could have anticipated.
My gosh.
And so within 48 hours, the $10,000 goal that I had for Kickstarter to start my company was, had been reached. And it was funny because I went on a road trip that I literally quit my job and, like, got on a plane and flew to Seattle and, like, went on a road trip because I was like, you know what, screw it. Like, if this Kickstarter doesn't work out, I'll go work for someone else. Like, I'll figure it out. It'll be fine. And then I was sitting in bed in Seattle and one of my best friends called me. She's like, you made it, you made it. I was like, what? I said, what are you talking about? She's like, you achieved your goal. I was like, it's been, like, not even 2 days. What are you talking about? She's like, you're done. I was like, oh my God, now I have to, like, start this company, okay? And then, like, by the end of the 30 days, I had made over $42,000 to start the company. And that's how the Simply Co. is born. So the laundry detergent that I have is three ingredients. It's just baking soda, washing soda, which is literally just based baking soda, and organic vegan Castile soap. And that's it. That's all you need to clean your clothes. It's just one tablespoon, because powder is the most concentrated form of detergent. And I package it in a glass jar because my goal is to have all of the packaging or all of the product be refillable, not single-use packaged.
Right.
And I ship it totally plastic-free in recycled cardboard boxes with recycled paper protecting layers and 100% paper tape. And that's how I started the company. So at first I was making detergent in my apartment. So when the Kickstarter ended, I had to, like, I thought I was going to make 100 jars of detergent. Maybe it would take me a month and that would be it. And I would have a company and I'd sell like Etsy and it'd be whatever. But I had to make like over 1,400 jars of detergent.
It was like, okay, friends, come on over for dinner and we're going to be packaging.
Yeah, literally, I like bribed my friends with alcohol and they would come over, and I would have them in, like, goggles, like, hand-grinding soap. I have, like, the best friends in the world. And even then, there was, like, a moment where I was just sitting on my floor crying because I was, like, I am spending 18 hours a day making laundry detergent in my kitchen. Like, this cannot go on. And so I was so lucky. I, like, met up with some people that helped me find a manufacturer and a fulfillment center. And so now I have... Yeah, now it's like a fully operating,
Lauren,
fully
we have,
running
we are,
company.
We are at the end of it. I will have you back. I will have you back soon.
Amazing.
We have to do it, everybody. Trash is for tossers. We've got great shows coming up about safety, car seats, Yellowstone, preserving a national treasure. Make it a great green day. And Lauren Singer, thanks for showing up in my life. It has been a delight. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.